This is a new story from Chaitanya Charitamrita. The title of this story is The Bodhacharya Gets Bonked. It's from Madhya Leela, chapter 9, verse 44. It begins. The Bodhacharya means the guru of the Buddhists. Gets bonked. Sarvatrasta paya prabhu vaishnava siddhante prabhu siddhanta keha napure kandite. Mahaprabhu established the devotional cult everywhere. No one could defeat him. Well, that's a very interesting translation. Sarvatrastapaya. Sarvatra means everywhere. Stapana means everywhere he established Vaishnava Siddhanta. Prabhupada translates that as devotional cult, the cult of devotion, the practice of devotion. Sarvatra stapaya Prabhu Vaishnava Siddhanta. Prabhu Siddhanta keha napare kandite. No one was able to kanda, like we say, akanda kirtan means without break. So kandite means to break, to defy, to defeat. Prabhu Siddhanta keha napare kandite. No one was able to break his preaching, to defeat him. The indefeatable philosophy, indefeatable Siddhanta. That's Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta. Hari Hari Prabhu Mate Karena Pravesh, E Mate Vaishnava Prabhu Kaila Dakshin Desh. Being thus defeated by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the philosophers of South India joined his cult. In this way, Lord Chaitanya made South India a country of Vaishnavas. So Pravesh, Prabhu Mate, they all entered into his way. Pashandi Aila Jata Panditya Shunya Garva Kari Aila Sange Shishya Ganalana. When the Pashandis, non-believers, heard of the erudition of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in other words, Panditya Shunya, when they heard he was about Nimai Pandit, Mahaprabhu, how what a great pundit he was in all different aspects of Siddhanta, then what happened? They came to him with great pride, bringing their disciples with them. So the Shishyagan, Garva Kari, with great pride, they heard, oh, he's a big pundit? He's a big pundit? Ha! These are Pashandis, they're non-believers. Let's go meet him. And they brought all their shishya. Come on, let's go. Let's have a fight with the Bengali pundit. But that's all they thought. It is Bengali pundit. Here we go. Bodhacharya Mahapandit Nijanava Mate Prabhura Age Udgraha Karila Gila Balite. One of these Pashandis, non-believers, was a leader of the Buddhist cult. He was the Bodhacharya. He was a very learned scholar, Maha Pandit. Not just Pandit, Maha Pandit. To establish the nine philosophical conclusions of Buddhism, he came before the Lord and began to speak. They have nine basic principles in Buddhism. Ahimsa, the perfection of shunya is nothing, and all these, they have these nine principles. Yadyapi asambhasya bodha ayukta dekite. Tathapi Balila Prabhu Garva Kandayite. Although the Buddhists are unfit for discussion and should not be seen by Vaishnavas. In other words, you shouldn't look at a Buddhist, what to speak of, talk to one. You dirty Buddhist. I don't want to see your face. So this is a very strong injunction of Krishna's Kaviraj. He's telling us to not even look at them. And so many people in the Western countries are becoming Buddhists. It's a plague, or whatever you call it. I mean, it's spreading like wildfire, isn't it? In England, it's very big. In America, everyone's going booed. Looking for zero. Everyone's tired of looking for something, and now they decide to look for nothing. And they're now good for nothing. So, anyway, Mahaprabhu, he spoke to them out of his mercy just to decrease their false pride. Tarka pradhana bodha shastra navamate
tarki kandila prabhu napure stapite.
So now we have to imagine there's this sannyasi there. He's meeting the sannyasi, a very tall figure, golden, beautiful golden body with shaved head. And he's carrying ek danda. No, actually his danda got broken. He's no danda. He's just in beautiful red cloth, like a sannyasi. And now he's meeting a Buddhist. This Buddhist acharya also has shaved head. They both have shaved heads. And this is what Lord Chaitanya's first statement is. The scriptures of the Buddhist cult are chiefly based on argument and logic. Buddhism is based on 9 chief principles, and these principles are mentioned in their Buddhist scriptures. Because Mahaprabhu defeated the Buddhists in their arguments, they could not establish their cult. So, apparently, in this particular place that they met, somehow it's not described, their particular arguments, although the purport, there's Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes the 9 principles of Buddhism, which are quite, one can read this for his own edification. This is Madhya Lila chapter 9, verse 49. It's a very nice purport, because Buddhism, although Lord Chaitanya defeated this particular Buddhist acharya, or Bodha acharya, but everyone knows now that Buddhism is quite popular around the world, all around the world, also in India. It's a very popular philosophy, because it's based on nothing. And people are feeling so empty about their lives that nothing feels like something. So it's a very attractive philosophy, the philosophy of nothing, voidism, shunyavad. Yeah, life is so meaningless and empty anyway, so I might as well follow the philosophy of nothingness, and then that way I'll feel that I have something to hold on to. Because without this philosophy of Buddhism, I have nothing. And the philosophy of Buddhism is nothing. So therefore, if I have this nothing philosophy, I have something. If you can follow that logic. It kind of escapes me. I can't quite catch how they get attracted to it, but that's to each his own, as they say. So would you like to hear the 9 principles of Buddhism, or would you like to hear the conclusion of the story? I think I'll, it's quite, anyway, for those who are interested in, those preachers and those who want to know about Buddhism, they can read this purport. But the 9 principles, at least I can read the 9 principles, because they're good principles also. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his purport, he states, according to Buddha's cult, there are 2 ways of understanding philosophy. The Buddhists have 2 branches. One is called Hinayan, and the other is called Mahayan. It's Ayan. Hina and Maha. Although the Buddhist path, there are 9 principles. The first principle is the creation is eternal. Therefore, there is no need to accept the creator. 2, the cosmic manifestation is false. 3, I am is the truth. 4, there is repetition of birth and death. In other words, we just keep taking birth and death until we attain nirvana. 5, Lord Buddha is the only source of understanding the truth. 5,
The principle, oh, that was five. Six, the principle of nirvana or annihilation is the ultimate goal of Buddhism. Seven, the philosophy of Buddha is the only philosophical path. Eight, the Vedas are written by and compiled by human beings. Nine, pious activities showing mercy to others and so on are advised. So this is the mercy principle. It's called ahimsa. You know, this is one principle. One of the nine principles of Buddhism is ahimsa. So they're technically supposed to be vegetarian, but most of them aren't. But at least Buddha was a vegetarian, and he was a vegetarian, and he preached this as one of his nine principles: mercy, mercy to animals, mercy to everyone. As far as this mercy principle, we can just read that one. Because each one of these principles is somewhat elaborately described. So the ninth principle of Buddhism, at least according to how Buddha preached, nowadays God knows what Buddhism is. The ninth one is ahimsa, or mercy, which is, of course, ahimsa means not nonviolence. It is stated that mercy is one of the qualities of a Buddhist, but mercy is a relative thing. We show our mercy to a subordinate or to one who is suffering more than ourselves. However, if there is a superior person present, the superior person cannot be the object of our mercy. Rather, we are objects for the mercy of that superior person. Therefore, the pious practice of showing compassion and mercy is a relative activity. It is not the absolute truth. Apart from this, we must also understand what is actual mercy. To give a sick man something forbidden to eat is not mercy. It's cruelty. If we wish to show real mercy, we will preach Krishna consciousness in order to revive the lost consciousness of human beings, the living entity's original consciousness. Since the Buddhist philosophy does not admit the existence of soul, individual soul, the so-called mercy of the Buddhists is defective. That's Prabhupada's actual comment there. At any rate, so that Lord Chaitanya meant these Buddhists, and they have these nine principles, which we only mentioned briefly, this one. Now the teacher goes on. Bodhacharya Navaprashna Sabhutaila Drida Yukta Tarke Prabhu Kanda Kanda Kaila. The Bodhacharya, the guru of the Buddhist, he explained the nine principles of Buddhism. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu broke them to pieces with his strong logic. Of course, it would be nice to hear his arguments, but unfortunately, they're not here. Darshanika Pandit Sabai Paila Parajai Loki Hasya Karibodha Paila Lajapai. All mental speculators and learned philosophers were defeated by Mahaprabhu. When the people began to laugh, the Buddhist philosophers felt both shame and fear. So, of course, I suppose, I mean, it's not that Lord Chaitanya took on Lord Buddha, per se. We have to keep the context. He met one particular acharya of Buddhism, and he defeated them. So this is an isolated incident, and obviously Buddhism is still quite prevalent. It's one of the world's religions, viewpoints, and practices. But it's included here as a story for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas in their book Chaitanya Charitamrita, for us to understand something about that Lord Chaitanya did preach to the Buddhists, and they get converted. So the idea of why it's being presented here, that what Lord Chaitanya is offering is very attractive. This is the basic idea. It's not so much to put down Buddhists, but to show that there's a higher taste here. If your mind only extends to the Buddhistic conception, and we only want to live by these nine principles, and that's as far as we can accommodate in our consciousness, then that's fine. That's a good start. it's not a bad thing. But this story is showing that there's, you'll see, we'll just draw the conclusion. So everyone was, the people that were gathered there to hear this discussion between Mahaprabhu and the Buddhist Acharya, they were laughing at the Buddhist Acharya because he lost the argument. So they weren't very compassionate. Prabhu ke Vaishnava jani bodha gare gela sakala bodha mili tabe kumantrana kaila. The Buddhist could understand that Lord Chaitanya was a Vaishnava. And they returned home very unhappy. Because ostensibly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was posing as a Mayavadi sannyasi. Because externally, he took sannyas from a Mayavadi, Kesha Bharati. He was initiated in the Advaitin Sampradaya, the Mayavad Sampradaya, Ek Danda, No Shika, and all these things. So they thought, as did the Mayavadi sannyasis in Benares, they thought Lord Chaitanya was a Mayavadi sannyasi at first. And so the Buddhists, when he came and started speaking to their guru, they assumed that he was a Mayavadi sannyasi and wanted to discuss Buddhist philosophy. He was a follower of Shankar. But then they understood, they came to understand, wait a minute, he's not a Mayavadi sannyasi, he's actually a Vaishnava. He says, Vaishnava Jani. Then they became very unhappy. So they made a plot against the Lord. Ku mantrana. Abhavitra anaeka talite bariya prabhu agenila maha prasara baliya. Having made their plot, the Buddhists brought a plate of untouchable food before Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they called it Mahaprasad. Abhavitra anaeka tali. Mbadiya. Mbadiya bhog. Mbadiya, 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 right? Same in Bengali. Mbadiya. Mbadiya means very good. A big full plate of bhog they brought. Tali, right? Everyone knows tali. Talite. Apavitra. Om apavitra, apavitra. It means impure. Ana means grains. They bought lots of impure grains and they said, this is Mahaprasad. Prabhu Age in front of. And they said, Balat Bolo, hey, this is Mahaprasad. Enjoy yourself. So now there's a small portion of the purport we will read. Srila Prabhupada said, the phrase apavitra, because pavitra means pure, like we say, patita pavanavatara, right? Patita means low, fallen. Pavan means purifying. Pavan sarovara. So apavan or apavitra means impure. The phrase apavitra ana refers to food that is unacceptable for Vaishnavas. What does this mean? This means that a Vaishnava cannot accept any food offered by a non-devotee in the name of Mahaprasadam. This should be the principle for all Vaishnavas. For example, sometimes you go to someone's house and they just make some food. They don't offer it. They don't have deities. Maybe they're just Indian people. They're hosting you at their house. And they say, oh. And they say, here, take prasad. In India, they just call food like this. This is Mahaprasad. You know, they say this. And they say, here, take some food. And then you may ask, is this prasad? Yes, it's Mahaprasad. And then if you're really inquisitive, which is kind of unusual when you're a guest at somebody's house, you don't become like KGB or something. Say, well, did you offer this to some deity? Or is it offered to Krishna or Radha? Or, you know, Sita, is it Vaishnava? It's Mahaprasad. But if you look, there's no deities, there's no pictures, there's no anything in their house. And then you say, is there any Tulsi? Did you put Tulsi on it? Tulsi? Tulsi? What Tulsi? It's Mahaprasad. I've had that experience many times. Because you go there and you're taken somewhere, some relatives, this, that, the other thing, and they bring out some food. Swamiji, it's Mahaprasad. I said, okay, I just eat once in a day, so please don't mind. And in this way, I very nicely try to avoid, you know, making any offense to my guests. But Prabhupada said, if they have deities or if they're Vaishnavas, and then we can take something there. Such food cannot be prasadam because an And a Vaishnava cannot offer anything to the Lord. Sometimes preachers in the Krishna conscious movement have to accept food in a home where the householder is an Avaishnava. However, if this food is offered to a deity, the deity can be taken. Ordinary food cooked by an Avaishnava should not be accepted by a Vaishnava. Even if an Avaishnava cooks food without fault, he cannot offer it to Lord Vishnu and cannot be accepted as Mahaprasadam. So even if an Avaishnava cooks pure food, it's not apavitra, it's pure things, but still it cannot be accepted as Mahaprasadam. Prabhupada is saying sometimes, he says here, sometimes preachers, they go to someone's house and the householder is an Avaishnava, but the food is offered to the deity. If this food is offered to the deity, he can take it. So what happens is that sometimes people, just out of custom, they have deities in their house. And I know people like this. They have Radha and Krishna deities, very beautiful, costly marble deities in their house. And they offer the food, but they're not devoted. They're not following any principles. They're not doing any bhajan. But they put some tulsi, they offer the food. So Prabhupada, he did this himself when he was traveling in India. He would do this. He would take, if they had some deity. Because in this way, there's a lot of teaching here. Because if the devotee goes to a house, the person's an Avaishnava. Prabhupada's making a very important point here. Of course, in the West, you don't really deal with this much. Sometimes preachers in Krishna conscious movement, they have to accept food. They have to. Or he doesn't say maybe they should. They have to accept food in a home where the householder is an Avaishnava. However, if this food is offered to the deity, it can be taken. So now, and a lot of times, even these Avaishnava hosts, the people that are hosting you, they have karmi cooks. They have, and even devotees have karmi cooks. That's even another point. But they're rich and they're wealthy. They have deities. It's their custom. And they have tulsi growing there. And the karmi cook cooks the food, or they cook the food, put tulsi on it, and they put it before the deity. But they're not a Vaishnava. So there's no bhakti. So Krishna says, if you offer me with love and devotion, I accept it. But if there's no, they're a Vaishnava, means they have no bhakti. They have no diksha, they have no initiation. They're not doing any bhajan, they're not doing any. But if the devotee finds himself in that house and it's pure food that they cooked, no onions and garlic, pure vegetarian food, then he should accept it. Why? Why should he do that? Why is Prabhupada saying that? And why did he do it himself when he was in India? Because if he doesn't, then these people will make an offense. They'll make offense to the Vaishnavas. Because they'll say, what is this? These devotees came to my house. I offered them prasad from the Lord. Our deity's prasad. This Mahaprasad. And they said, no thanks, we don't eat this food. You're not a Vaishnava. Then, by our miscalculation of the situation, those people make Vaishnava parad. So this is the point. This is the real point. So to save these people, because they have Vaishnavas in their house, and they may become Vaishnavas by that association. Imagine if Prabhupada comes in your house. But Prabhupada, there's 20 devotees of Prabhupada, and the guy cooks for 20 people. And then Prabhupada says, no, we're not taking. You're an Avaishnava. But then everything goes sour and people become very upset. Because they looked at Prabhupada sometimes, they said, Prabhupada, should we eat it? And the Prabhupada would be eating it, then all the devotees would start eating it. Because they knew that the person wasn't a devotee. This is in Lilamrita, and this is described. The devotees all sat down, they looked at Prabhupada, well, should we eat this? And Prabhupada started eating it, then okay. Because Sarusanga, Sarusanga, Sarva Shastra Hoy. Lavamatra sadhusanga sarva siddhi hoy. If someone, some Avaishnava who has deities in their house, now what kind of Avaishnava are they? They're kind of a special kind of Avaishnava. Prabhupada said he's Avaishnava. He's not a Vaishnava, but he has Radha and Krishna deities in his house. That's pretty interesting. And he's offering food, and we shouldn't eat it because he's not a Vaishnava. But if we go there for a preaching program, And it's Srila Prabhupada who comes to that person's house, Lavamatra Sarusanga Sarvasiddhi Hoy. If he associates with Prabhupada favorably, for a few moments or an hour, then he can attain perfection. He can become a devotee the next day. He may even surrender that night. He may surrender that night to Srila Prabhupada and take Diksha right there and then. And Prabhupada initiated many Indians. Many times I meet Indians come up to me and say, I was initiated by your Guru Maharaj in Allahabad here and there. I said, what, really? And they're not lying, they really were. Then you later ask some senior devotee, oh yes, that's so-and-so, Mrs. So-and-so in Ahmedabad, she was initiated directly by Prabhupada in her house. It's not just the ISKCON temple devotees. Prabhupada initiated many Indians here and there in the 70s. So Prabhupada, just see. But if Prabhupada and all his disciples said, no, we don't want your food, then the people would be so, they would make offense. And they wouldn't get benefit of that association with a Siddha devotee. They would say, oh, what is this, these people? So see how important it is that the devotee exists. The devotee exists and moves for the benefit of others. So Krishna can accept anything offered by his devotee with devotion. And a Vaishnava may be a vegetarian and a very clean cook. But because he cannot offer Vishnu the food he cooks, it cannot be accepted as Mahaprasadam. It may be a good meal. It may be really good food. But it's sin. Krishna says in Gita, if you eat food which is not offered, you're eating sin, right? Yagyashishashino shanto munchyante sarvakilbishe munchyante tezokambapam yipachantya makarata. In chapter 3 of Bhagavad Gita, maybe verse 13, he says, yagya uchishta, that if the food is not offered in yagya, it becomes sin. So that means it has to be offered to Krishna. So it may be like paka, all natural foods, organically grown in my own garden, and I'm a vegetarian, I'm a yogi, and it's so good, but it's sin personified because you don't have bhakti, you don't have love, and we want to eat love, not natural foods. We don't want to eat organic foods. We want organic love. We want Krishna's love, and so this will come. It is better that a Vaishnava abandon such food as untouchable. Apavitra ana. Hina kali mahakaya eka pakshiyala tonte. Oh, that's so good. Tonte kari anasaha tali lanagela. The story goes on. The Buddhists, the disciples of the Buddhists, they felt offended because their guru was defeated. So they made a plate of poison food, of bad food, and they presented it to Mahaprabhu. When the contaminated food was offered to Mahaprabhu, a very large bird appeared on the spot. Maybe that was Garuda. Don't know. Or one of his relatives. A large bird appeared there on the spot. He picked up that plate in its beak and flew away. Well, indeed, that was quite a large bird. Because I've seen birds come here and land in that tree and take squirrels away. I hear the squirrel crying. What's going on? I come outside. And the bird flies away with a squirrel in his mouth. I said, well, Haribol Prabhu. Because he's not exactly going on traveling sankirtan. He's going to go inside that eagle. Eagles come sometimes. So the bird flew away. He picked up the plate of prasad and flew away. Plate of apavitra, ana, untouchable food. Bodha ganera upari ana pariya amedyahaya. Bodha charya mataya tali padila pachiya. The bird flew away and he dropped that plate of untouchable food and it landed square on the head of the guru. The plate landed on the head of the Bodhacharya. Bonk! That's bonk means when you hit someone in the head, it's called you bonk them. Bonk, you know, like this. You take something. Whoops. And you bonk them on the head. So the Bodhacharya gets bonked. This is it. This is where the title of the story comes from. The tali of apavitra ana, of untouchable food, it fell square away on his head. What an interesting coincidence. The large bird dropped the plate of food on the head of the Buddha, and when it fell on his head, it made a big sound. Dong! You can imagine if someone drops a plate on your head. Empty thali makes some sound, right? But if it's a full thali, it makes a big sound. Terache padila thali, mata katigela, murchitahana acharya bhumite padila. That was a metal plate. It wasn't a leaf plate. Sometimes there's a leaf plate. Or it can be clay. If it was a clay, sometimes they, in the Krishna Balaram temple, they make these cakes and they put them on a clay plate or something, right? You see that? You've seen that? Clay, a little clay thali. So if that hit his head, it would crack. But this is a metal plate, and the plate didn't crack, but his head cracked. It hit him on the head. The plate was made of metal. When the edge hit his head of the Bodhacharya, cut him, and the teacher fell to the ground unconscious. Hahakara, hahakara kari, kande sabha shishyagan, sabayasi prabhupade hai laila sharan. When the teacher fell on the ground unconscious, his shishyagan, they all cried. The Buddhist disciples, they cried naturally. The guru is your everything. And it gets smacked on the head and falls on the ground. It's a calamity. It's terrible. It's not a good thing. So you're crying, oh, Gurudev. They ran. They cried. Then they ran. Interesting. They didn't run to their guru. They ran to the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. This is the irony of it. You imagine your husband gets cracked on the head and falls on the ground, and you run away to your lover and leave him there. It's the most unusual response. And the usual response would be they run to the guru. He's cracked on the head, fell on the ground unconscious. And all the disciples run to the feet of Lord Chaitanya. Prabhupada Laila Sharan. That's very interesting. Prabhupada Laila Sharan. That's right. That's a line right out of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Madhyalila chapter 9, verse 57. Sabe, it means everybody. Asi. Asi means they come. Bengali, Asi. This is old Bengali. Sabe Asi Prabhupada Laila Sharan. Right? Sri Guru Kuna Sindhu, right? Prabhupada Laila Sharan. So they all went for the Sharan, the shelter of Mahaprabhu. Tumita Ishvara Sakshat Shama Aparad Jiao Amara Guru Karaha Prasad. They all pray to Mahaprabhu, addressing him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ishvara Sakshat. Tumi Ishvara Sakshat Shama Aparad. Please, Shama means forgive. Please forgive the Aparad of our Guru. Jiao Amar. Bring him back to consciousness. They said, this is interesting. The word Prabhupada used. They said, Sir, please excuse our offense. Please have mercy upon us. Shama means compassion. Actually, Shama means compassion. And bring our spiritual master back to life. So I don't know if he were. It says he fell on the ground unconscious, but it sounded like he fell dead. But unconsciousness is a sort of type of dying, I suppose. Prabhu kahe, sabe kaha, Krishna Krishna Hari, Guru karne kaha Krishna, nama ucha kari. Mahaprabhu said, you should all chant the names of Krishna and Hari, ucha, very loudly, near the ear of your guru. Right. Krishna, Krishna, Hari, Krishna, Krishna, Hari, Krishna, Krishna, Hari, Krishna, Krishna, Hari. Guru Karne, Kaha, Krishna, Ucha. So this is the fact. If anyone is unconscious, they can be brought back to consciousness by hearing the name of Krishna and Hari. Krishna and Hari becomes Hari Krishna. Right? So Krishna, Krishna, Hari. Krishna, Krishna, Hari, Hari, Krishna, Hari, Krishna. So we were unconscious. We were unaware of our spiritual identity. We were unaware of the ocean of divine love that's flowing in our own hearts. But our guru came and he gave us this mantra, Krishna, Krishna, Hari. And by chanting that mantra, we came to understand who we are. And we came to the shore of the ocean of love. So we became conscious. We woke up, Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago. So Lord Chaitanya has just initiated them. He's God. He said, hey, listen, boys. Here's the truth. Krishna, Krishna, Hari. So the Buddha's disciple, the Shishyagan went to Mahaprabhu. It's very interesting. Check it out. Or examine the proposal. Prabhupada Lila Sharan. The guru gets bonked on the head, falls on the ground unconscious. The Shishyagan, all the disciples run to Prabhupada. Prabhupada, that master at whose feet everyone should surrender. And what do they do there? Prabhupada Laila Sharan. Sri Krishnam Sharanamama, like they say in Natwara, all the Gujarati devotees of Natri. Sri Krishna Sharanamama. My mama, my shelter is Sri Krishna and Sri Natri. So this is how you approach God, by surrendering at the feet of Prabhu. Guru Pada Shraya. This is the first limb of devotion in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He's giving very nice harikata. He's saying, oh, you don't know? Radharani was just at Suryakund and Jatila came there and very funny pastime happened and she ran away from there. Acha? He's saying, you don't know anything about harikata. I know. Seems, especially right now, his voice seems so much more attractive than mine, which is about finished. So somehow the super soul in the hearts of all these Buddhist disciples inspired them to take shelter at the feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu says, this is where bhakti begins. Guru Pada Shraya. That's step number one to the ocean of love. If you want to dive in the ocean of love, you have to dive in the feet of the guru. Guru Pada Shraya. Take shelter at the feet of the guru. This is the step one. There are 64 steps in the dance of love. If you want to enter the Rasa Mandala, there's 64 preview. You can dance forever in the Rasa Mandala of divine love, but there's 64 steps separating us from the Rasa Mandala. And the first step is Guru Pada Shraya. So, what did they do? Prabhupada Sharan. They took shelter at the feet of the ideal supreme bhakta and supreme guru. Mahaprabhu came as the ideal devotee. He's bhakta and Bhagavan both. He's Radha Krishna Yugal, and he's the ideal devotee. There's really a lot of action around here. With animals and birds everywhere. It's hard to keep your... Imagine sitting in a Bhagavatam class in some temple and birds are flying all around and monkeys jumping and kids yelling. It's really hard to keep your mind on the subject matter. So they surrendered at the feet of Mahaprabhu, and then what did he do? What did he do for them? He gave them mantra, diksha, right? He said, they said, do something. Can't you do something for our guru? Have mercy. They said, shama aparad, karaha prasad. Shama aparad, karaha prasad. Please forgive us. We are repenting at your feet. We're repenting. We're foolish. We're stupid somehow. Shama, be compassionate. Shama actually means compassionate. The Prabhupada translates it here and differently in different places. But here he says, please forgive us. Please excuse us. He says shama means excuse, but shama means actually compassion or forgiveness. Please forgive us and show compassion on us and give us your prasad. So this is how a disciple approaches a guru. I've been so fallen, I've been so sinful. Please forgive me, please excuse me, please forgive me. And the Guru says, all right, now start living purely. Follow these four principles. Show me, prove to me that you want to live a pure life. Don't just speak words. And then, so they're, this is the ideal approach. Please forgive us for our offense. We did make an offense. We admit it. We're repentive. And so what is the response? Mahaprabhu says, yes, I accept your repentance is genuine. Your surrender and submission is real. It's true. And they're saying, give us your prasad. Kara prasad. So what prasad does a guru have? He has mantra prasad. He has mantra prasad and he has vidya prasad, paravidya prasad. He has the mercy of transcendental knowledge and he has the mercy of mantra. And the mantra gives the knowledge, makes the knowledge come alive. And then ultimately you get knowledge of our identity, Jivara Surupaya Krishna Nityadas, that I'm a generic servant of Krishna. Then Guru gives knowledge of Siddha Sarup. That not only you're not a generic servant of Krishna, but you're a specific Gopi Manjari of Krishna in a particular place, in a particular seva. This is all the kripa, anugraha of the Guru. So it's so wonderful. So that was their side, the Shishyagan, that was their side. In their hand they came with surrender, sharanam, taking shelter, and admission that we were faulty, we were wrong, we admit it. And they were begging, please, I beg you, kripa karo, please be merciful. And then the all-merciful, namo mahavada nyaya krishna brahma pradayate, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, yes, your taking shelter is genuine. Your repentance is real. I accept it. And I will give you mantra diksha. Krishna, Krishna, Hari. What more does one need? These two names will give everything. Krishna, Krishna, Hari. So now the disciples are initiated. They've followed the process. They followed the proper Vedic process of attaining perfection. They approached Guru with submission, and they got admission. Toma Sabara Guru Tabe Paibe Chaitan Sabha Bhoda Mili Kari Krishna Sankirtan. Mahaprabhu went on to give them, he gave a mantra, says, Diksha, says, Sri Krishna Dikshadi Shikshanam. Sri Krishna Dikshadi Shikshanam. It's very interesting, because the second principle in Bhakti Rasamrita says, Sri Krishna Diksha Adi Shikshanam. One surrenders to the Guru, then he gets Diksha, then Shiksha. It says, Sri Krishna Diksha Adi Shikshanam. So beginning with Diksha, when he actually submits to the Guru, then the Guru starts giving him individual instructions. So he gives him Diksha. So in verse 59, Lord Chaitanya gave him Diksha, mantra Diksha. Now he's giving them Shiksha. In verse 59, he gave them Diksha, mantra Diksha, Krishna, Krishna, Hari. Now in verse 60, he's giving them Shiksha. And this is the Shiksha that he gave him. By this method, your spiritual master will regain his consciousness. Means also you. By this method, what is the method? By the mantra. I've given you mantra diksha. If you chant this mantra, Krishna, Krishna, Hari, you're in your guru's ear and in your own ear, you will regain your consciousness. He's unconscious, physically unconscious. He will come back to consciousness and open his eyes and say, hello, how are you? Where's a band-aid? Give me Neosporin or betadine. He'll become conscious. But more than that, if you chant this mantra, he will regain not only his consciousness, but his consciousness. He'll become conscious from his stupor of being fainted, but he will become conscious of God. And you also, if you listen in your ear this mantra I've given you, you'll become conscious of God also. You will regain your consciousness. So that was his shiksha. Following Mahaprabhu's advice, all the Buddhist disciples began to chant the holy name of Krishna congregationally. So they got right into it. They liked it. Krishna, Krishna, Hari, Hari, Krishna, Krishna, Hari, Hari. All together they were chanting. Guru Karne Kaha Sabe Krishna Ram Hari. Well, even threw a ramen there also. See what happened? Krishna, only it says that Lord Chaitanya told him to chant Krishna, Krishna, Hari. And somehow or other, he tricked them because they started chanting Krishna, Krishna, Hari, and pretty soon Ram snuck in there. That's what the Bengali says. Now, and if you put Ram, if you have all those names, then it's not long before you mix and match. You mix and match like clothes. You have a pink shirt or a blue pant, you know, mix and match. So pretty soon the three names became Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. When all the disciples chanted the holy names of Krishna, Ram, and Hari, the Buddhist teacher regained consciousness. And what happened to him? He immediately began to chant the holy name of Lord Hari. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments that all the Buddhist disciples were actually initiated by Mahaprabhu into the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. And when they chanted, they actually became different persons. At that time, they were not Pashandis or Buddhists or atheists, but Vaishnavas. They immediately accepted Mahaprabhu's order. Their original Krishna consciousness was revived, and they were immediately able to chant Hare Krishna and begin worshipping the Supreme Lord Vishnu. Krishna Bali Acharya Prabhure Karena Vinay Dekiya Sakalaloka Haila Vismai. When the spiritual master, the Buddhist, began to chant the holy name of Krishna, and he submitted to Mahaprabhu, all the people that were gathered there were vismai, astonished. E rupe kotuka kari shachira nandan antardana kaila keha na paya darshan. Shachinandan then suddenly and playfully disappeared from everyone's sight, and it was impossible to find him. Mahaprabhu chaliaila Tripati Trimale Chaturbhuja Murti Deki Venkat Adri Chale. Mahaprabhu arrived at Tirupati in the Tirumala Hills, where he took darshan of Balaji Venkateshwar. So apparently he's in South India when he met this Buddhist, and he left that place immediately because there's nothing more distasteful. There's nothing more distasteful for a Vaishnava than recognition. A Gaudi Vaishnava never wants recognition. He may do anything wonderful or glorious, but he doesn't want to get any recognition. Amani na mani dena kirtaniya sadhari. He is always amani. He doesn't want aman. He's free from self-respect. He doesn't want any honor or distinction. Madhavendra Puri was personally given kira by Gopinath in Raimuna. Arrangement was made directly by the deity to serve his devotee Madhavendra Puri. And the pujari understood that phenomenon, that lila. And immediately upon receiving that kira in the middle of the night, Madhavendra Puri packed up his things and ran away full speed. Because the next day the head pujari would spread the news everywhere. Because head pujaris were a lot like women. They really spread gossip all over the place. That's a speciality of head pujaris. They always like to tell everything everywhere. So he ran away, and so he could avoid that recognition. So Lord Chaitanya, he's just converted the Bodhacharya and all his disciples to the fold of Vaishnavism. And this is an amazing thing. It doesn't happen very often. So he didn't want to stay around there and get all kinds of pratishtha and recognition. So he ran away. It says he disappeared instantly. Antardhan. Antardhan means he disappeared. And no one could find him. So this is Napaya Darshan. No one could have his darshan. So Lord Chaitanya teaches us by his very example, humility. Trinada Pisa Niche Naturi Vasahishana. He's not just speaking, he's walking his own talk. Like they say, walk your talk. He's telling in Shikshastakam that we should avoid all honor, avoid distinction. Be low key, low profile, be in the back. And all honor to Guru, all glories to Guru, all glories to Krishna. Jai Radhe. We say Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe. Jai Radhe means all glories to Radharani. Radharani ki jai ho. So Lord Chaitanya is showing in his very life. He could have stayed around and become really popular. He could have stayed around this village and become a big person, got lots of fans and friends and lots of money and recognition, and made the front page of the newspaper. His picture would have been in the newspaper the next day. Of course, they didn't have cameras, but anyway, he would have been really famous, and they put him on a palanquin and take him all around town and throw flowers and be a big celebration. It was a major event, but he left immediately. So this concludes our stories from Chaitanya Charitamrita for Kartik 2008. Of course, I want you to understand, in other words, the idea is somehow or other, this Buddhist guru and his disciples, they appreciated the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. They became attracted, and they ultimately enlisted in the fold of Lord Chaitanya. So this, I guess it's, one point of the story is to show that maybe Krishna Bhakti is higher than Buddhism, at least for some, but not always. It depends. Every individual has his own destiny, and a lot of it's due to his last life. It's pretty much the tree, the fruit tree was planted last life, and this life we harvest the fruits. And it's really hard in one life to plant a new tree. It's very difficult, at least to grow a tree. We can plant some seeds. We can collect some. In this life, we can engage in activities which will be like seeds. In the next life, they may grow into a tree. That's how this samskara is. Samskaras and karma and all this works.